Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. This week, it's my pleasure to bring to you a presentation from the LDN Book Volume 2 Tour, October 2020.
It's going to discuss different aspects of chronic pain and the use of low-dose naltrexone for it. Once again, thank you so much to MD Custom Rx for having me. So I want to start and talk a little bit about why I do this and why I am a clinician that specializes in functional medicine and why I use low-dose naltrexone. So it started with a car, not this car, but a 2003 Hyundai that was like this car. It was a green Hyundai and my favorite car, my first car. I was coming home from residency and I was driving the 6 miles home, got to the back of the house and turned the key off and I could not get out of my car. I had searing white hot pain throughout my entire body. And I couldn't get out of my car. I thought, wow, this is how things end. I won't be able to function. And I was no stranger to pain. I was born with a birth defect that included a vertebral abnormality in my neck. My esophagus and trachea were joined together at birth. And I had surgery, which caused great scarring. I had a feeding tube put in. So I have a big scar from that and tubes from where I had surgery in my back. And I was no stranger to pain. I have scoliosis from the way that my muscles grew abnormality and a significant amount of adhesions in my back. So I had no issue with the fact that I had had pain in my life, but this was a different pain. And it got to the point where I couldn't move and I wasn't going to be able to practice medicine. Now, when I talk about low-dose naltrexone, I believe that every person's response is different. And so I discuss that with regard to pain in the pain chapter. You're going to need, if you are going to use low-dose naltrexone for chronic pain, you need an experienced clinician to dive in with a multifaceted approach, both testing and management of your pain. There are different types of pain that that are especially helpful with helpful to use low-dose naltrexone, specifically neuropathic pain. Is a really, really, really amenable pain to use low-dose naltrexone with. And pain that stems from fibromyalgia or autoimmunity, pain that comes from systemic inflammation is a tremendous opportunity to use LDN as an adjunct. Now, low-dose naltrexone is rarely a panache. It's not going to magically remove all pain. So at 29, I couldn't get out of my car. And 10 years later, I'm thriving. I have Hashimoto's thyroiditis that led to longstanding complete hypothyroidism. And my autoimmunity is well controlled also with LDN. LDN was a huge game changer for me. So when I talk about my story, I had been diagnosed with hypothyroidism at 19, but I still had a widely fluctuating TSH and uncontrolled symptoms on only levothyroxine, severe inflammation, and recurrent anxiety and depression, which had burdened me since childhood. In retrospect, it was due to systemic inflammation. I had fibromyalgia pain, and all of these things had led to a picture of infertility. I had a very poor quality of life. I had also been diagnosed with minor fibrosis of the liver because of the chronic inflammation and metabolic changes that had happened from longstanding undertreated hypothyroidism. And this was me in May of 2012, graduating from med school. I didn't know this, but less than 7 months later, I would be bedbound from pain. In September 2014, I was back to work and I had had our daughter. I flared after my daughter was born, which necessitated a doctor helping me who suggested low-dose naltrexone, and it gave me my life back within a month. So I'm not just the president of the Hair Club for Men, I'm also a client. So when I say I prescribe LDN, I do it with the knowledge of being a patient first. Now, what are the cases where a patient would benefit from LDN, especially with chronic pain? Now, I want to talk about that and talk about how, if you are considering asking a clinician about whether LDN is right for you, maybe not just with chronic pain, but in your life, how might LDN help you? Well, a good question to ask is, what is your outlook on life? Are you a half glass, glass half empty person or a glass half full person? I can tell you that before LDN and before changing a significant amount of things in my life, I was a glass half empty person, a very unhappy person, a pessimistic person. And these type of people tend to be Eeyores. So Eeyore is very cute and very, very sweet. And he wants to be loved and he wants to be respected. He wants to be complimented on his pretty pink bow on his tail, but he doesn't want to be bothered and he doesn't want to go out with his friends. Now, I appreciate on Winnie the Pooh that his friends would always come and ask him how he was. I think that's a great, you know, great friend, but he's clinically depressed. You can tell this. If you are an Eeyore, I know someone who is an Eeyore that also has significant amount of pain that contributes to that state of their depression, they likely have a low endorphin state. And this chronic low endorphin state may be corrected with low-dose naltrexone. And I'm going to describe that. The other reason that people may benefit the most is if there is an inflammatory basis to that pain, a systemic inflammation. Now, this is the great conflagration of 1871 or the great Chicago fire. And when I think about the Chicago fire, I think about being a Midwesterner, you know, the story of Lady O'Leary and the cow tipping over the lantern, and that started the fire. Well, whether that's true or not, the Great Chicago Fire lasted 2 days, killed 300 people, took out 17,000 buildings in Chicago, but started from a barn. And in our bodies, it's often the same case that there is a nidus for the fire, a area of the body that has that, but that it spreads and becomes via signaling or cytokines, a chronic systemic issue. And patients that have systemic inflammation via biomarkers such as SED rate or erythrocyte sedimentation rate, ESR, that has been shown. So one of my colleagues, Dr. Jared Younger, showed in a seminal paper that I'm going to show that these patients tended to feel better when they took low-dose naltrexone and had a better response. So if you are a person that has a low endorphin state and also may have chronic inflammation, you may do better, have a better response with LDN, at least a noticeable one. Now, this is the paper that I am referencing. So Dr. Jared Younger published a paper in 2014, an incredible seminal paper in the Journal of Rheumatology about LDN as a novel treatment for chronic pain. And we now know that that this is considered a microglial modifier and an immune system and an immune system modulator. And so we don't look at this as an immune boosting drug, but one that helps the immune system to balance or modulate. And in this paper, Dr. Younger talked about and saw with a small number of patients, fibromyalgia patients, that those that had increased SED rates, those patients tended to have even better pain relief with low-dose naltrexone. In my clinical experience treating thousands of patients, the overwhelming response is that low-dose naltrexone is a game changer and that it helps. It really helps with quality of life. And we love low-dose naltrexone. It's very rare, has a very, very small side effect profile. And in general, patients do really great on it. Now, in the ye olden days, medicine mainly contributed to people being dependent on highly addictive substances from the opioid family. So we all looked at those cough medicines from the 1800s, you know, with cannabis, cocaine, heroin, opium, morphine, all that stuff packed in there, you know, to cure you from anything, any ill that you might have. We had a lot of people that were dependent on those agents, well, significantly through time. First, using opium, people went opium dens back to the 16th century. Then they started using laudanum, and then derivatives of opium, morphine and cocaine, and then heroin in the turn of the century. Actually, the Germans who synthesized heroin called it, the Bayer company called it heroisch, which is German for heroic, and in America, heroin. So now we are learning so much more and started learning back in the 20th century after World War II, that by accident, by finding something, an agent that blocks the opioid receptor, that one can actually provide pain relief that way. And we now have in 2020, in the last 5 years, a significant body of literature that to date has not been there and has not been understood. We now have analyses and reviews of therapeutic utilization of LDN and various dosing regimens and strategies. And with my involvement in the LDN Research Trust, we are working together. Many clinicians are now doing more research, more studies, banding together, publishing their results and trials, and working toward more evidence for use and educating other clinicians. Now, did you know that on average, the practice of medicine is at least 30 years behind the literature? Now, we need to take this literature that's there and get it to the clinicians that are able to prescribe this drug. And that is one of the missions of the LDN Research Trust. And my hope in being a part of that and writing chapters in books such as this LDN Book 2 is that it's going to find its way into the hands of patients and clinicians, and that will change medicine. But it's only going to change very slowly because there's always skepticism to change in the standard of care. Now, with the development of naltrexone, when I talk to patients and I talk to clinicians, there is not an understanding of naltrexone. We have on the market a high dose variant of naltrexone known as naloxone or Narcan. And in very, very high doses, we use that agent to help with acute opioid overdoses. Now, there is a confusion with different amounts and different concentrations, different strengths of naltrexone, which I'm going to go into about what we use that for. And there's differences. Now, the main thing that it comes down to that doctors don't understand, and I hope you will take away as a listener here, is the notion of pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics. And if you're like Fry here and you're still not sure what that means, it's absolutely understood. These are gobbledygook words. Most doctors don't understand that. Now, pharmacokinetics is what the body does to the drug. Now, we know you take a pill and that pill has an effect on you, but the body has to break down that drug and metabolize it. Now, how does naltrexone work? Well, the differences between naltrexone and naloxone are large. There is very little bioavailability or how much actually gets absorbed by the body with naloxone versus naltrexone. It's more. The peak concentration is very, very quick with naloxone. It goes in your body and boom, hits and is gone. The half-life is short. and duration of action is also very short. Now, with naltrexone, the concentration is lasts a little bit longer, and also the half-life is a little bit longer, but it is more bioavailable and easily excreted by the kidneys. Now, pharmacodynamics is what the drug does to the body. That is what we're used to saying when we say, I took this medicine and this medicine did this for me. Now, with naloxone, naltrexone has no agonist activity, meaning it will block that receptor. And for those that have never taken any opiates, it has almost no effect at all. So now, with high doses, you're not really going to get pain relief. It could cause a little bit of drowsiness, not a problem. But again, if you give a very large dose, you can get reversible blockade, but it's complete. And I want to repeat, most doctors do not understand this. When we are blocking that opioid receptor, you get no dependence. There is no physiological or psychological dependence on this medicine. And there is no tolerance to this activity. So if you take naltrexone in a very low dose, you're never going to have it wear off like you have to take a larger dose. There are times where patients need their receptors reset and sometimes we'll skip nights. But it's never like a opioid medication like Norco or oxycodone where you took that medicine and it no longer helps your pain and you have to take more of it. This is not the case. So when we start to talk about naltrexone in different doses, we're talking about the differences in pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics and how pharmacodynamically using a small amount, how could a small amount of the same drug have a different response than a larger one? And that is a huge principle of my talk. And what I want people who are interested in LDN to take it, if they're interested in taking it, to understand with regard to chronic pain. Now, there are different doses of naltrexone, and I'm harping on it because most doctors don't understand this. In 1984, naltrexone was approved to be used for drug addiction. And in 1995, I believe it used for alcohol tolerance, alcohol dependence. And that is used in a standard dose of between 50 and 100 milligrams. And it will block that receptor. And it's not a transient blockade. It is a complete blockade. And it doesn't give one pain relief, but it helps with that dependence. It helps to reset those receptors. What we are looking for is a sweet spot of low dose naltrexone. And nowadays it's broadened a little bit. It can be anywhere between standard 0.5 milligrams up to 10 milligrams is considered low dose. Now, even up to 2017, back to 2017, I said LDN is 0.5 to 4.5 milligrams. And that's what I would say. And I would say even 10 milligrams to be moderate dose, but we're broadening that. And we're finding that people in general can use a semi broader amount of LDN and still call it low dose, that it has the same mechanism of action. We also use very low dose and ultra low dose naltrexone. Now, very low dose range is actually added on to detox tapers and some regimens, but ultra low dose, which I'm also going to speak about, is a big game changer with regard to potentiating and helping opioid medication work better. So patients who are working to wean down on their opioid medication or just to help make their opioid medication work better can utilize ultra low dose naltrexone. And there's a product that they're working to bring to the market, the FDA. It's in the middle of, I think, being approved, or they're working to try to approve it. They're working to make these drugs, knowing how important that is. So let's talk about the mechanism of action of LDN. So when we use low dose naltrexone, we are very, very gently and transiently blocking, and not really blocking hard, but kissing that opioid receptor for a couple of hours and then unblocking. That blockade didn't do anything. That's not what we're looking for. We are actually looking for that rebound effect in that 18 or so hours where that receptor is unblocked, that there is a rebound effect where the receptor is confused and doesn't remember if it had made its products and says, oh, shoot, was I asleep? And so it then makes more of its own products, which are beta endorphins and metenkephalins. Beta endorphins help with mood, with pain, with sleep, and also are intimately involved with the immune system. Metenkephalins are also known as opioid-derived growth factor. And there are receptors for these opioid-derived growth factors on many tissues, including the thyroid, for instance. And metenkephalins are intimately involved with the immune system and helpful for healing. Now, there are many other things that LDN does because it works to help also block certain signals. One of them is known as toll-like receptor, and there are specific toll-like receptors that it blocks. Now, with that, it can affect how certain cells like microglia, which are the major immune cells in the brain and immune system, and it helps to modulate these cells, and they help to provide an anti-inflammatory effect. So this is a feed-forward system that if you can get that anti-inflammatory pathway going, you can down-regulate and you can come down from that systemic inflammatory state. Now, again, there are multiple mechanisms of LDN. You get lack of pro-inflammatory cytokine forward pathway. You get lots of healing of different tissues potentially, and you can get help of mucosal healing when we get those opioid receptors in the GI tract that are involved. And then we get downregulation of Th17 via downregulation of the cytokines, IL-10, TGF-beta. And that helps, for instance, reduce autoimmune phenomena when we downregulate Th17. So I want to talk a little bit about microglia. Now, microglia are the macrophages, or the cells which help to eat foreign invaders in the central nervous system. And they're the first line of defense of our immune system in the brain. And on the left, these guys are representing normal motile processes. And these guys interact with their environment via dendrites, these spines, and they change their behavior changes across the stages of their lifetime. And there on the right, we can see it eating something, or phagocytosis. And we're going to talk more about types of cells and how they eat things. So I want to talk about microglia a little more and why LDN is so important. So these guys are the front lines. These guys are soldiers. Glial cells form myelin. They help to modulate neurotransmitters. And dysfunctional microglia stay dysfunctional. They then cause neurodegeneration, and if it's gone on long enough. So these toll-like receptors, so toll-like receptor 4, once it's activated, can trigger inflammation, and it can cause autoimmunity. Now, you can't turn that off. Low-dose naltrexone, for instance, helps to block toll-like receptor 4, among other toll-like receptors. And this is really profound with regard to the potential to help with traumatic brain injury. I wrote a chapter on TBI in this in the new LDN book. And I treat patients with traumatic brain injuries and an autoimmune disease. Now, with that, we have these microglia, which are chronically activated. And when that happens, you can't turn them off. They are in this state, this M1 state. And there is no drug on the market that can help turn those off. But we believe that LDN helps to do that and is a microglial modulator. And that is incredibly profound. And when I say it's complicated, I mean it. So this is kind of a sense of what changes happen to go from a M0 or M1 state, which is a quiet microglial cell, and then going to or an M0 state going to an M1 state, which is an active state, or an M2 state, which is actually potentially an anti-inflammatory state, which is really interesting. So we think that different phenotypes or microglia can be activated in different ways from different disease states or different conditions, which is just it's just really profound. So again, remember, LDN is a novel anti-inflammatory treatment for chronic pain. And why is that? Why does it work? Because LDN helps to quench the fire of inflammation. So remember, low-dose naltrexone is a bucket. Now, in the ye olden times, remember the Chicago fire, people would have had a bucket brigade that would have formed. Before we had modern pumps and firefighters, everybody kept a bucket next to their door filled with water. So invariably in the middle of the night, when someone in the neighborhood or community had a fire, everyone would run and pass the buckets to help try to save that person's property and thus maybe their own, unless it would spread. So remember, this is a synergistic effect. We are looking to add agents that act as buckets, and they help to balance the pro and inflammatory cell signaling pathways. And we think of a balance. If we think of how many pro-inflammatory cytokines are going on, you want to balance that with the anti-inflammatory ones. You want to turn off the pro-inflammatory signals when you don't need them. And we need to use a variety of tools to quench the fire. And LDN is one of those. So Dr. Bernard Bahari was a New York neurologist and internist. And I find these scientists and these doctors very, very, very interesting. He started treating patients with MS and AIDS at a time where there was no treatment for either. And he didn't have many agents at his disposal. And these were very, very sad cases. And I have no idea how he started working with the hypothesis that if you increased the amount of endorphins in the body, that potentially you could help with the immune system response. And he started doing this in the late 70s and 80s. And this is the patent on using opiate receptor antagonist, LDN, for helping with chronic fatigue syndrome. In CFS, ME is often caused by a chronic infection. And so these are off-label uses of naltrexone. And he was using 1.5 to 3 milligrams as an adjunct therapy for AIDS in the 80s. And they realized that these endorphins are critical for an appropriate immune response. And again, then Dr. Ian Zygon was working on metenkephalins. And again, this is just incredible work. And I have great admiration for these thought leaders. So what a difference 3 years makes. We have such a difference between the 2017 and the 2019 conferences. Clinicians have greatly, including me, have expanded our treatment protocols. People are dosing more than once a day. People are skipping days. People are using higher doses than original. They're using very low doses. There are so many potential opportunities for protocols and uses that people are doing and having great results with their patients. And so I want to give some patient pearls of wisdom. If you are out there and if you are taking LDN, a fan of LDN, or you are considering asking a clinician about low-dose naltrexone. So I want you to know again that this is not a magic pill. What's really frustrating for me as a prescriber, because patients come in and they're super excited and they want me to tell them, you know, am I going to feel better right away? And all I can say is, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. You know, it is not magic. Patients can feel better nearly overnight. They can feel better, or full effect for some of my thyroid patients has not reached for 15 to 18 months, at least a year. And so when I put patients and I prescribe low dose naltrexone, I use a dosing protocol and I tell them to give it at least a 6-month trial to stick it out if they can. And for full effect that they would need to try it for a year to a year and a half before saying it didn't do anything for me. I also use a lot of labs to actually be able to see, is the effect working cellularly and clinically? The problem is some patients don't feel any different, but they have evidence that they are doing better with better labs. And so when I was talking about signs that you might notice, you know, a bigger change, whether you have a low endorphin state or you have massive chronic inflammation, those are the patients that tend to feel much better taking this medicine. But it can sincerely help people, even if it doesn't have a great effect with how much pain you're in. There are many uses of LDN. So the key is to work with a knowledgeable clinician and a compounding pharmacist. There's great hope for chronic conditions with the use of LDN. So how do I know that LDN is working? So I tell my patients, you will start to have more good days than bad days. And it's very, very subtle. Subtle changes in behavior. Maybe you have more energy to be able to do things that you want to do, or are not punished with crashing the day after exerting yourself. Maybe you will require less medication or other pain relieving strategies that you have. Maybe you'll be able to participate more in daily activities. Maybe you'll have a better outlook. And your clinician will be looking for biochemical changes that are consistent with healing, including imaging results, biopsy results, or lowering of inflammatory markers like CRP, C-reactive protein, or erythrocyte sedimentation rate, ESR. So from my standpoint, for a prescriber, I'd like to also give some pearls of wisdom. So I see a lot of pitfalls when other patients come to me and say, oh, I tried LDN and it didn't work or had a side effect. I, in general, really listen to my patient and I dose them according to how I think that they will do. I tend to be more of a standard prescriber for chronic pain conditions. I'll start at 1.5 milligrams, working up to 4.5 milligrams for those conditions. But for patients with autoimmunity who are really sensitive, or especially those with Hashimoto's, because with thyroid disease, one may actually get alleviation of the inflammation and you may actually have to lower thyroid medication if one is on thyroid meds. So I tend to go very, very, very slowly with Hashimoto's patients and start at 0.5. Or even lower if I have to. Now, patients that have dramatic reactions, side effects to LDN, I would strongly say that it is not the LDN doing it, that it may be uncovering an underlying infection, most likely even yeast or Lyme disease. I see that quite often. Consider morning dosing with patients with a history of insomnia or nightmares. It's a common side effect to have vivid dreams when one starts LDN, as you get more of that endorphin, you get that endorphin blockade and flood of endorphins. We tend to do it at night because some people can, you know, not feel so great even when they get that blockade. But others do really, really well taking it in the morning. For some that are really, really extremely sensitive, we even do smaller dosing and more frequent dosing, twice a day even, or multiple times a day with tiny, tiny doses. And we really have to be patient because sometimes we have to go up and down on the dose to find the right dose. And sometimes we have to reset receptors and skip nights if patients aren't noticing as much of an effect. over time. So I want to talk about a little bit of a difficult concept, and it's something that I am, you know, really working on, because I strongly believe that there has to be a middle. You know, allopathic medicine tends to refuse allopathic medicine tends to deny the benefit of natural therapies, and natural medicine tends to deride the hope and the ability of allopathic medicine to heal. And in reality, there has to be a mix. Now, the question is, what mix of hard pharma, which is the synthetic allopathic medicine that is very, very specific, what amount, what ratio of that to soft pharma of vitamins and micronutrients and supplements and therapies like low-dose naltrexone, for instance, which comes from a standard medicine but is compounded and off-label and used in small doses? What combination of hard pharma and soft pharma is considered a golden ratio? And in my experience, my belief for healing chronic illnesses, we need a golden ratio of much, much more soft pharma to hard pharma, whether it be 10 to 1, 20 to 1, 50 to 1, 100 to 1 is different for every patient. But I believe that most patients with chronic illnesses may require one or more targeted therapies to really help them, but that they need much soft pharma to help. And I want to talk about feeding our cells. It's the concept of endosomes. Endosomes are how cells eat. So cytosis is eating, endocytosis, to bring into and eat for the cell. Now, cells, if they are taking in antibodies, for instance, become poisoned. It's cellular food poisoning. And if we bring in antibodies from an infection, for instance, we have a poisoned cell. So what do we need to do as far as therapeutics? We need to load up those endosomes, and we need to help the endosomes eat a cocktail of medicine to help them. And low-dose naltrexone can really help this. For instance, in macrophages, which are a primary immune system component, low-dose naltrexone can help modulate via those toll-like receptors, can help how those cells work properly. Pretty incredible. And the single greatest thing that we can do for our cells, the most powerful thing in how to help our mitochondria, which is how our energy is produced, the so-called powerhouse of the cell, the number one thing that we can do is not to take LDN, but it's actually what we have on the end of our fork. And great mitochondrial health starts with how we eat. That is the single greatest thing that we can do to help modulate our DNA via gene expression. And these are some of the most mitochondrially active foods. That includes beef or buffalo, of course, grass-fed, grass-finished, coconut oil, pomegranates, broccoli, wild Alaskan caught salmon, seaweed, avocado, almonds, extra virgin olive oil, spinach, blueberries, and green tea. Again, cellular recovery is what we're going for. And low-dose naltrexone is a great helper to do that. And LDN, what's so powerful about it is if you can tamp down the inflammation, you can provide all of these supportive things to help these cells heal. But oftentimes with chronic systemic illness, there is no ability to heal because the body is too busy fighting. Too busy constantly fighting all of this inflammation and fighting the self via autoimmunity. So it's a really, really, really important thing. Another big pearl is that I look at cellular health via omega-6 to omega-3 ratios. And I truly believe, again, that a real key in healing is how cells process everything. And that's actually in lipid droplets, in fat. As it turns out, the ratios of our fats in our cells are so incredibly critical. Now, pretty much all of our food has omega-6 in it. It's just really hard to get enough omega-3s. And now as an American, most of us, before we got into eating better, ate a Western standard American diet, which is very omega-6 driven and filled with poor quality fats. Those things drive cellular breakdown. And there are individual tests that we can do to support that. We use many, many tools to help rebalance things. But one of the easiest things is to take a very clean omega-3 fatty acid supplement and work with a doctor who knows how to do that and how to balance those things. And in general, I look for an omega-6 to omega-3 ratio of 4 to 1. And that's hard to achieve. So we look at that. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about opioid dependence and the use of ultra low dose naltrexone. I'm going to spend just a little bit of time on that and then be there to answer any of your questions. So I just want to reference this too, because I even have trouble with the difference between opioid and opiate. So opioid is any drug that acts on the opioid receptor in the brain. So most of the time that results in stopping pain, but you can also suppress cough. You can also stop diarrhea. You can do all sorts of things with that. So opioids are all drugs. So synthetic, semi-synthetic, or natural from poppy. And opiates are either derived from poppy or synthesized from any drug found in poppy. That's very specific. Opioid is anything that acts on the opioid receptor. So opiates are a subset of opioids. So I want to talk and finish up with a little bit about ultra low dose naltrexone, which is pretty exciting. So we are using that now as a role in opioid weaning. And we generally dose it at 1 microgram twice a day. The dose varies. Some people use a little bit more, but I started at 1 microgram twice a day, which it's crazy. We have our compounding pharmacists able to actually meet that out in such a tiny dose accurately. And therefore we are able to monitor for greater opiate medication response. And why do people get dependent on opioid medication? Now, it happens because there is tolerance to the medication that's driven by increased irritation of those glial cells in that central nervous system. And so if we actually reduce the glial sensitivity via low-dose naltrexone, we can restore and enhance the effectiveness of these opioid medications. Pretty incredible. Now, a weaning strategy has to be undertaken very, very carefully with your doctor. You can't do this on your own. You really need support. We want to make sure that one doesn't go into withdrawal. Now, in general, people can take low-dose naltrexone, not ultra-low-dose naltrexone, but they can take low-dose naltrexone with the supervising physician with short-acting opioid medication, not long-acting. Now, as long as you separate out that dose by at least 4 to 6 hours, we try to get it at least that much. There is a low dose of low chance of causing withdrawal. Now, if people are on a high dose, if they are on a long-acting opioid like MS-Contin, for instance, you cannot take low-dose naltrexone. You would have to use or fentanyl patch. You would have to use ultra low dose naltrexone. The other thing that I want to say about medicines that may or may not be able to use with LDN include tramadol. Now, tramadol is a very weak central nervous system acting agent, but it can cause a lot of problems with LDN. Some people can take it fine and some people cannot. And actually the same thing with alcohol. Some people can tolerate alcohol, social drink or two with LDN, and some actually cannot. Some have side effects. So again, you have to work with your clinician on that to figure out what is the proper strategy for you. So different weaning strategies for different folks. In general, if a patient is is opioid tolerant, we taper that medication by 10% monthly. And then we can use more aggressive weaning strategy if they are more opiate naive, they haven't been using it longer than say weeks to months. And so if we you know, decrease it by 10% weekly. So, you know, my clinical experience has been pretty amazing. I have been able to greatly reduce opioid medication dependence in patients and even successfully completely weaning people off of medicines that they were told that they would be chronically on the rest of their life, and that there was no ability to, you know, to do that. You know, quote, my doctor told me I was never going to be able to stop these pain meds, and you proved them wrong. I was able to wean patient off of fentanyl patch, and I was able to help them help another patient get off their other pain meds, and thus be able to help them restore their bowel movements without taking hefty doses of those medications. So it's been an incredible blessing to be able to use LDN to help in these cases. And sometimes it's been nothing less than just a miracle in some of these cases. So I also do want to say that some people, and I was talking with the LDN book launch with a local pharmacist, Dr. Craig Badagowski, and he made a very, very, a very helpful point. And I want to talk, I don't know how many people are listening out there who will hear this talk, but I do want to also say that there is nothing wrong with opioid medication. Some people absolutely require these medications for intense pain. And we use these medications and there is a purpose in them, but it must be done with a qualified clinician. And it is a very profound thing to be able to work with patients to help them to not be as dependent on those medications or reduce their amount of meds or even be able to reduce them all the way. So for some people who need to be on these medications, we can use ultra low dose naltrexone to help that medication work better, which is, it's really exciting to be able to do that. And it's pretty great. Chronic pain, and in writing that chronic pain chapter, which I co-wrote, was a real deep dive for me in understanding all of the different types of pain. And in general, those pain conditions that are caused by chronic systemic inflammation tend to be those that are helped with LDN. Now, it isn't to be said that those with structural issues, like even mine, I have pain in pain, for instance, in my neck from a structural issue, that still can be helped by low dose naltrexone, but it is even better helped by those with those conditions that have chronic pain from a systemic inflammatory issue. So when patients ask me, well, you know, how do you know if someone could tolerate LDN or if someone should use it? For about 80 to 90% of my patients, they are candidates to try LDN. And I say, just try it. There, I have had thousands of patients try low-dose naltrexone, and so many of them report increased quality of life and feel much better and are able to do so many great things that they potentially would not have done had they not tried it. So thank you very much. I am so thrilled to be here. I leave you with a improved pain scale. This is Allie Broches from Hyperbole and a Half. And I truly believe she summarizes much better what pain can be like. So thank you very much. I'm Dr. Sarah Zielsdorf. I am an internist, a board certified internist and functional medicine doctor in Chicago. And I practice out of Motivated Medicine in the suburbs, Western suburbs.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.